A missionary nun was flying to her new assignment. A remote mission in Alaska is a bush country with a pilot of a small plane, and she was his only passenger. Suddenly, the pilot clutched his chest and slumped over. Frantically, the nun grabbed a radio and yelled, "Mayday, mayday, this is Sister Susan. Help me, someone. My pilot had a heart attack. I don't know how to fly. I'm alone on the plane. Someone, please help me." A voice came over the radio. "This is air traffic control, and I hear you loud and clear, sister. I'll talk you through this and get you back to the ground safely. I've had a lot of experience with this kind of problem. Everything will be fine. Now give me your altitude and your location." Sister Susan says, "I'm 5 feet 4 inches tall, and I'm in the front seat." "Okay," said the voice on the radio. "Repeat after me. Our Father, who art in heaven." In today's gospel, the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, and the Lord gives them the Our Father, which is called the Lord's Prayer. All of our readings today are about prayer and about persevering in prayer, like Abraham persevering in prayer, interceding on behalf of the people before God. And then Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened." In the original Greek language, those words are continual. In other words, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. So the idea here, of course, is perseverance in prayer. Never to give up praying for our loved ones, for your spouse, for your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your loved ones. Keep praying. But of course, how should we pray? And the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, how should we go about praying?" And when Jesus responds by saying, "When you pray, say the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father." St. Augustine once said that the Our Father contains everything we need. All the graces and help that we need is contained in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. St. Teresa of Avila says, "If you want to learn how to pray, say one Our Father." But then she said, "But take an hour to say it." In other words, think about each of those words of the Our Father. Think about every phrase. And that's how you learn how to pray, is by meditating upon the Lord's Prayer. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the church, says an Our Father can be prayed by a little child, and it can be prayed by a great theologian, because it contains so much. For a few moments, let me just briefly walk you through this prayer, which we say many times throughout the day. Sometimes we just say it without thinking. We just say the words, but we need to understand what we're praying. It's actually a very challenging prayer, very difficult prayer in a lot of ways, when you can see what we're really praying for in this prayer. And Jesus says, of course, in Luke's gospel, it's a shorter form. Matthew has the full version of the Our Father. And notice when Jesus said, "When you pray, don't say, 'My Father who art in heaven.'" He said, "Pray, Our Father." In other words, every time we say that prayer, we're praying for the whole world. We're praying for the whole church. We're praying for those who do not pray. So, Our Father, we're praying for our family, our loved ones. And one of the most shocking things Jesus ever said is that when you pray to God, call Him Abba. And that word in Hebrew, in Aramaic, means papa, dada, daddy. It's an incredibly intimate word for a young child to use for his dad. When I was in the Holy Land, we were walking through the streets of Jerusalem. We passed a bakery, and I heard the word Abba, Abba. And literally, it was like a three-year-old boy asking his dad for a bagel or a Jerusalem donut. And so he wanted that, but notice he used that word. He was a three-year-old. That's what we're called to be towards God. He is our loving Father, Abba. And we pray, "Who art in heaven." We think about heaven in the Our Father. The Our Father lifts up our minds and hearts out of this earth. It lifts up our minds and hearts to focus on heaven, which is our goal. That's our destination, our journey. That's where we want to go and be with God for all eternity. And then we pray, "Hallowed be thy name." which means may your name be held holy. May your name always be respected and honored. May we never use God's name in vain. At work, or if you hear it on TV or a movie, say a prayer. Say an Our Father if you hear God's name being used lightly, carelessly, or in vain. Because in Scripture, the person's name represents the whole person. So it means not only should we respect God's name, but that may God always be praised, adored, and honored all over the world. Thy kingdom come. We pray for God's kingdom to come. The Catechism says it's a threefold kingdom. We pray for the kingdom of God within us, which is the state of sanctifying grace, where God's very life dwells within us through baptism and sanctifying grace. We pray when we say, Thy kingdom come, that we'll always be in the state of sanctifying grace. It also means the kingdom of God on earth is the church. May God's kingdom on earth, the church, spread throughout the world and evangelize all peoples. And then we pray for Thy kingdom come, and that we pray that one day we may be in heaven with God for all eternity. And then a very challenging part of the Our Father is when we pray, Thy will be done. Not an easy prayer to say, Thy will be done. Like if you have a loved one dying of cancer, yes, you pray for the healing of that person. Pray that God will work a miracle and bring about their healing. But we also have to say, Lord, You know best. Not my will, but Thine be done. Even Jesus in the garden said, Father, let this chalice of suffering pass me by, but not my will, but Thine be done. To pray those words, Thy will be done, can be very difficult and very challenging to accept the will of God in our life. And oftentimes when we pray, as Bishop Sheen says, we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be changed, O Lord. We want God to do our will, but we want to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Who was doing God's will in heaven when Jesus gave us the Our Father? It was the holy angels. The angels were doing God's will in heaven, lovingly, joyfully, readily, willingly. So we're saying, God, may we do Your will on earth as the holy angels are doing Your will in heaven. So I love the fact that the angels are implicitly referred to here in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Just like the manna in the desert was given every day. So we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread means everything we need for body and soul. Food, clothing, shelter, of course. But also everything we need for our soul. Graces that we need. Help, patience, whatever we need. That is our daily bread. The prayer in the original language means super substantial bread as well, which is probably an allusion to the Holy Eucharist. Lord, give us the grace to go to Mass every day and to receive Holy Communion every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And then another difficult, challenging part of the Our Father is, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The most challenging, difficult word of the Our Father is one of the shortest words, the word as. We're saying, God, forgive me my trespasses, my sins, to the exact same degree that I'm willing to forgive anybody who ever injured me. That's a powerful prayer. So you can guarantee that God will be merciful and forgiving to you on Judgment Day if you are forgiving and merciful to others during your life. If you weren't, then you're really tying God's hands, and He can't be forgiving and merciful towards you, towards us, if we are not forgiving and merciful towards others. And forgive us our trespasses. That word also includes sins. God, forgive me at my sins as I'm willing to forgive those who have sinned against us. One day in CCD class, the children were asked to write out the words of the Our Father. And this is what one girl put for this verse. Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. And then lastly it says, and lead us not into temptation. And as you know, Pope Francis is considering, you know, changing the English translation to try to get it more accurate. In other words, God, do not let us be tempted beyond our strength. But Lord, don't even lead us into temptation, or don't even allow us to be tempted. As the Pope says, God doesn't want to lead people into temptation. In this verse, we are saying, God, may your grace sustain us so that we don't fall into temptation. So that's, I think, what he's trying to get at. Lord, don't let us fall into temptation. Give us the grace we need not to sin. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this evil could be anything harmful to us physically, emotionally, spiritually. It also means deliver us from the evil one, from the devil. So this is an exorcism prayer. By saying this prayer, we are protecting ourselves from the devil and the evil spirits, the demons, who are prowling about the world seeking for those to destroy. So deliver us from evil. Physical harm, spiritual evil, protect us, deliver us from the evil one. So it's a very powerful prayer. Or as you know, one child on his CCD test said, instead of deliver us from evil, he wrote, deliver us some email, okay? And deliver us some email. But the prayer means, this prayer is so powerful. Again, it could be said by a little two-year-old child or by a brilliant theologian with a PhD in theology. But the great thing is you can meditate upon this prayer your entire life and never fully plumb the depths of the beauty of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. So I encourage us as we continue with the Mass, as we're after the consecration, right before we receive communion, we will say this prayer. Let's try to say it with greater focus and reverence and a deeper understanding of the beauty of this prayer.